Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, by understanding has he established the heavens, and by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down dew. My son, thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, Go, and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwell securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. In the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. I'd just like to remind you that when we come as a fellowship together, it's a place by way of convenience, since we're all sitting down on one platter, and it's being passed around. And there may be only one portion of that platter for you. You take that portion and thank the Lord, and don't expect to digest the entire platter any one morning. Because we only do receive, really, portions of truth. And it may have been a little prophetic word. It may have been the spirit of someone's prayer. It may have been a song or somebody's testimony. And that may be all that the Lord has for you, you know, any one morning. So though we will talk much, just put the bones aside to you. In this chapter, we get lessons 3, 4, and 5 of the 13 lessons which we said Proverbs 1 to 9 tell about. There are 13 lessons in Proverbs 1 to 9. In chapters 1 to 8, chapter 9 is like a summary of them all. Each of these lessons starts with the word, my son. And we looked into what the scripture illuminated on that phrase last week. In Hebrews, we get a commentary. So much of Proverbs, if you find a commentary of it, New Testament. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that it's written to you as children, we were telling last week. My son, have you not noticed the exhortation that is spoken in the word, my son? It is to you, an exhortation to you as children, says Hebrews. Therefore, we read it as women, my daughter, God addressing us. God is speaking to us, saying, my daughter. It's not just Solomon speaking to his son. And so the third lesson is verses 1 to 10, and the theme of that is trust and obey. It's verses 11 to 20, and the theme of that is the delights of wisdom. And the fifth lesson is verses 21 to the end of the chapter, 35, the effects of wisdom, the theme. Now, the first two, in case you might have missed it, the first two lessons was chapter 1, verses 10 to 33, in other words, the rest of that chapter 1, and lesson 2 is the whole of chapter 2. All right. Now, we have the title, How to Gain Wisdom. And last week, we told how we are shown here the order of authority in chapter 1. That the way in which God is going to give us wisdom, he has chosen a line of authority to teach us. One is the fear of the Lord, which was God. And the second one, that was verse 7 of chapter 1. And the second one was verse 8 of chapter 1, where it says, instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. So the second in the chain of command of the authority, the channeling of God's wisdom, is first a relationship to God himself, and secondly, becoming under the authority of our parents. And then third, we said, was relationships of friends. And in lesson 1, which was chapter 1, having the wrong kind of friends, and the importance to have the right. And then we said that was the first point, and the second is the process of learning here, and there was a section A and a section B. Section A was revelation, that God is the one who lays up wisdom, God is the one who gives wisdom, and we learned that in Proverbs 2, chapter 6, his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So we don't look at other people and think, I'll never understand and know what they know or so, because the source of wisdom we know, and he's going to give it to us as we seek his wisdom and want to live in it. Revelation is the opening up of truth. Let's get a simple way to put it. Opening up. It's like a vision with its interpretation. It's like understanding. It's one of the aspects. So process of learning is first revelation, just like Terry Lee. She didn't know what it was all about. She'd been to churches, played in front of churches and so on, but didn't see the truth. Then one day she saw. God knew that her heart had accepted and searched, so he allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon her and bless her. But
she needed to do what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And her going up to the altar is to open with her mouth and confess, you see. And then she had a revelation that when she discerned it, it was assurance to her. And that's so often the case. You're not quite sure till you've made your open confession. The revelation. And the second point is discipleship. Discipleship is living in that truth, following the light that you've been given. Stones to wisdom. Looking back now at chapter 3, this is the third way of gaining wisdom. The first one was the authority, influence and authority that got God's order. The second one was the process of learning, as we said, and now is the three. The first one is in verse 1, and I had hoped for more discussion, but we've had beautiful discussion of a different type this morning than planned, because that's the way the loving spirit does it. So we'll just go right on with some of these already prepared. The first one in 1 is, forget not my law, keep my commandments. With that you can take also verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. In other words, remember, remember. You can use the word remember if you like there. Remember. And another word is memorize. The writer here is talking about keeping it in your heart, not just in your mind. But it's important that we also have it in our mind. And I gave 2 verses for us to learn by heart. And I really feel we haven't gained all we're going to get out of this course if we don't discipline ourselves to memorize. So we're going to stop for 1 minute and say these verses 1-7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And what is the definition of a fool? One who will not listen to reason or God. There are many definitions, but that's one of the ones given. All right, let's say that again. The beginning of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Tremendous, I think you know that. And then Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof, saith the Lord. Behold, I will pour out my spirit and know my words unto you. All right. Turn you at my reproof, saith the Lord. Oh, excuse me, it doesn't say the Lord. That's not me. I mean, that's me putting that in. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And we remember to turn around back to him. He has promised to bless us with his spirit and with more light on our way. That's very important. The second stepping stone is found in verses 3 and 4, where we have mercy and truth. Some of the wisdom of God given to us through the commandments by Moses. God gave them to Moses. But we're told in chapter 1 of 1 John, that of the book of John, that truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. And he is the one who is going to lead us into wisdom, because he is wisdom. And only as he gives us both the understanding and the power to live in that understanding. There's a psalm, it's Psalm 85. We won't stop to look at it now, but you might like to look at it, where it says, mercy and together, righteousness and peace have kissed one another. Now, who is righteousness? God. And who's in rebellion and in need? man. And there's a tremendous gulf between these two. But when God's truth and righteousness is in our lives, they meet together, and it talks about kissing one another. And where mercy and truth meet and kiss, that kiss is a kiss of peace. In a holy way, I would say that's like God's kiss to you and me. When we have the mercy in our hearts, that's the way to grow in wisdom, by mercy and truth. Also, there's another interpretation of that clause. It says in Proverbs in another place that the sweetness of the lips increase learning. Now, we could come with truth so hard that it's too hard to take. They get so beaten down. They just go out of a place just feeling they cannot take that. They knock you out with it. But it says of Jesus, that when he came, grace poured out of his lips. He had the element of mercy along with truth, and that helps as parents with children. When we're trying to teach them, always give a little honey with the salt. That is what a way to gain and grow in wisdom. Even the angels in Revelation, when they spoke to the churches some hard truth, gave some lovely encouragement in nearly every case where they ever could find anything, along with the hard word. So, mercy and truth. Then, perhaps the important verse of Proverbs 3, in the sense of a central verse of a stepping stone, is this one, trust. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord, lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We've heard of the first side of trust in a very beautiful way this morning. That was the side that is a decision. There are two sides to trusting. One, commitment. When we decide to trust the Lord. But you know, though we have made that decision, it's another thing to be a disciple in that decision and go on and make a habit of trust. A habit of trust. And that comes by commitment and commitment. It's a growing in wisdom. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 40 years and more, like I have, you can still have to come right back to the first steps of trusting and suddenly discover that you weren't trusting. You are deep down, but in the daily commitment is what where we're going to find trusting in our paths and so on. Then the fourth is to lean not, in verse 5. On our own understanding. Lean not on our own understanding. And the commentary of that is found in verse 7, where it says, be not wise. In other words, not be limited by your understanding currently. How many of us have discovered that the way we grow in wisdom is being willing to be taught? Meek is the word. Or, the meek shall he teach in the way that he shall. One of those ways of demonstrating our meekness is being willing to unlearn what we felt we already knew. Because we are just like, what we've said before, spiritual sophomores who feel we have arrived once we come into some special blessing. And that is a wise fool, is the definition for a spirit. Who thinks they have arrived, and they have, because you will go no further, we will go no further, until we are ready to admit there's more to go, more to learn, and that we have not arrived, you see. We're thrilled with what the Lord has shown us, but there's more and more,
And that's what I love in the Christian life. No place for boredom. Always adventure. Now, the fifth one is to give and share. You know, we seek to worship the Lord, don't we, with our singing and with our praises. And it may not sound like very wonderful worship to some of us, and sometimes it sounds weak or feeble or uninspired, or we don't even. At least we're seeking to take God's name and honor his name in the infant ways in which we can on earth. But do we know that one way to worship the Lord is with our wealth? And that's verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord. What Joanne said is so important. We had this last Sunday at our church, one of our pastors speaking to us in the matter of the food problems of the world and the call upon Christians to care and to give. It was a very important word. He gave it quietly, not at all with great drama and stirring up. Weep. And there came upon us what I'd call a revelation. I've heard this. We've read it. My husband, with the professors and so on, has been talking about it. And way back years ago, they predicted this situation that's happening today, way back when we were in Washington. And we've heard this and heard this. And what does it do? Makes you feel guilty that you have so much. The world is in such need. What are you to do? It came like a opening up of truth. You have heard. There's a dearth of hearing in the land. You have heard and heard and heard. Now, obey and do something. And so, about a week ago, I was surprised. The oldest son living here came and said, "Mom, couldn't we have a rice dinner occasionally or something like that, like we used to for Lent, and give some of our money for the poor?" I thought, well, if my Lehigh student will say that, then it's about time that Mother thought about this. And finally, Doug and I in the pew, we talked about it, and we just decided no more can we hear this message of that we should give to the poor and do so little about it. So we said, what about having a weekly rice dinner and then putting the money, a token amount, say $1 per person, making it $5, and just giving that to the Lord. But what is $5 in the world situation? And I wondered if the children would go along. So we spoke to the daughter, and she just thought that was fine. Spoke to my son, my youngest one, who I thought would, such a little sport that he is, that he has an appetite. And I thought, wow. He said, yes, good. And then he said, but I don't know that I can, how I'm going to give $1. I said, well, that's coming out of the family budget. Well, I had such joy yesterday cooking up a rice dinner, because all were in accord to have this rice dinner. And I remember thinking, the commentary to this truth is Luke 6, 38, where it says, give and it shall be given unto you. And I thought, at last our family's going to sacrifice peanuts, but still that much. And at last we're going to see something new from the Lord. Well, do you know, while that rice was cooking, in blew an angel from out of town with a huge sack of clothes for me that just fit me like this one. We gave up a wee bit of food, and we got some clothes. Now, really, that's only one little illustration. But what the Lord will do when we go forward in just a little tokens of obedience, and the joy he puts in your heart, because at last we're beginning. And you know, we were closed on Sunday morning with this word. There was an enormous need one day, 5,000 people on the mountain. And there was just a little lad. What could he do? He just had some loaves and fishes. But he gave his loaves and fishes. And God did the miracle. sisters. Do you believe that that $5 could become 500? I believe it. Do you think that your loaf of bread could feed 100 or 1,000 if Jesus did it before? If he calls you to do it by his Spirit and we obey by his Spirit, I believe that he can increase it. Otherwise, it's not worth starting, is it? It won't make a dent anywhere. But I believe that the Lord can increase just the same way as he did on the mountain to feed the starving multitudes.
Please stop your machine and turn the tape over.
Moment of grief and so on, was the one of shock. The other was that we had a history of walking with the Lord. We knew that he was good. And even though we couldn't understand what had happened or why, and we did ask those questions, overriding that was an